The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Group Chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
It's summer, and in summer you think of eating on patios, festivals, food, fits, fun. But we're seeing some recession indicators in pop culture. So what does that mean? Will we be having a normal summer, or how are we all dealing with that? So that's what we're going to dive into today on Group Chat. I did not know there were recession indicators in pop culture, so this is going to be a good discussion today. I'm Bentley. Danny Kutzbach, my co-host, standing co-host today, but also, I mean, he's a regular on the show, so it's not weird that you're in this seat. No. Co-owner of Town Ballroom, Funtime Presents, and Outer Harbor Live Concert Series. Yep. Busy guy right now.
Very busy.
So thank you for filling in for Nyla. Yeah, Charles, the lion over here. And do we have an update on our baby lion?
We do. We do have
not
an
your baby lion. Sorry, that was misleading.
Scandalous.
I feel like we have to have a Lion King moment when Nyula's baby is born.
Oh, I'm probably going to do the whole like let's bring in the music and hold the baby up. Might do all of that. But yes, we do have an update. It looks though as if my date may not happen.
We think she's going to be earlier.
Yeah, well, because she texted us and told us that, you know, she will be going in Monday. So it looks like it could be anywhere between, I'm going to say Monday, Wednesday. That's what I'm thinking.
And your prediction was Juneteenth.
June 19th.
So I couldn't take, I took the 18th.
Yeah.
So
I think my intern, Nina, is the betting odds right now.
Okay.
Because she has the 13th up.
Okay. So. All right. Well, I know Nyla wants to be here. She watched last week. She loves Donnie on the show. And then in our group texts last night, I could tell, especially with what we're going to be talking about today. She's a Knicks fan through and through. So.
Yes, definitely is. I am amongst Knicks fans all over. True Knicks fans.
You're a good sport as a Lakers fan. You've been a very good sport with this.
I have been. I could have been. Yeah, I would have hated me.
You had a little tinge of it last night in the group chat when things were falling apart. And I was like, oh, there's Charles. Charles is now in the chat.
I told you, I was on the phone. I was keeping up with the score, seeing that it was a blowout. And I just did what I normally do. I send a GIF, and my GIF said it all. I was like, okay. But before I go any further, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to this channel right here.
I don't know how we're all functioning today, actually, because how late were you awake last night, Donnie?
So I was pretty worked up after the game, and I couldn't get back to sleep. And I did the thing I don't normally do, where I wanted to keep watching the coverage. So I kept watching the coverage for another, like, hour and a half afterwards, and I made like a burrito egg. We were talking about breakfast sandwiches. I made like a burrito wrap egg sandwich last night. Just sat there and kept watching the coverage because I was like so gassed up on it.
Yeah. It didn't seem you needed confirmation that it actually happened, which I think was happening in the arena. Like nobody was leaving. But I do have to say, like, I was even checking all the social media accounts for, like, the official announcement, even though I sat there and watched the end of the game.
I went to sleep. I'm not going to lie. I went to sleep, woke up. I had at least about 30-something text messages. Majority of it was from Tiffany and Nyla about the game. But when I went on social media to try to see exactly what happened, I couldn't see any of it because it was just taken over by celebrities. One in particular, which would be Taylor Swift. She happened to be at the game. There is rumors of her being in her wedding taking place at Madison Square Garden. The guest list has, I guess, been revealed, But because of that, we have a special guest to give us a breakdown of the Taylor Swift wedding and the guest list. And this will be my intern, ladies and gentlemen, Nina Gugino.
Whoa! Yeah, no need to applaud, guys. Really, it's okay. How's it going? How is everyone
when do,
so excited?
When do I get to pick this apart? Am I waiting until she? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, first off, my name is Nina Gugino. I am Swiftie Defense Coordinator. Many years I have served of this nation, this great, great nation. And today in front of me, I present to you all the guest list of the Taylor Swift wedding. Now, I would like first to present my credentials. I have served many tours. My first concert, the Red Tour. Then 1989, Reputation, the Eras, Pittsburgh Night 2. Surprise songs were The Story of Us and Seven. I know Ball. I saw her in Macy's when the Wonderstruck perfume dropped. I know her cat's names, and I tried to get the Secret Sessions as a child for the 1989 album release, and I failed. But today, we're going over the drama of the guest list, and it is a lot. I spent all day yesterday working on it. Genuinely all day yesterday.
She really did, y'all. She really did.
Our conspiracy theories on the location of the wedding and et cetera, et cetera. We do need to know who may be there.
Okay. We'll start with the connection number one. Taylor Allison Swift. Allison is her middle name. And of course, I know that. We're going to go through her fiance's portion right up here because I don't care about him. She is getting married to Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs, my biggest and greatest enemy, who he is inviting, that we know of, Coach Andy Reid, Walrus, his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, and his wife, who is boring, Brittany Mahomes, Jason Kelce, his brother, and his family, and then their parents, but we don't care about that. What we care about is the A-listers that will be there. And these are everyone that we know of, minus Niall Horan. We'll get to him in a minute. We're going to start with the one I'm most excited about, which is Gracie Abrams, opener on the Eras Tour, close friend of Taylor Swift, mentor, collaborator. She is currently dating Paul Mescal, who I think most notably right now will be in the Beatles biopic. He's playing Paul McCartney, I believe. He's evil. He's very, very evil, and here's why. He was engaged to Phoebe Bridgers, another close friend of Taylor, also an opener on the Eras Tour, and they've also collaborated. She was on Nothing New for Red Taylor's version. Beautiful song, I love it. They were engaged, and on a fateful day of the Met Gala, I think I want to say 2021, there was a picture that was released of her looking at him and smiling, and him looking past her, smiling at someone who is not on this list, Daisy Edgar Jones. It was horrific, and they broke up very shortly after, and Phoebe Bridgers is now with celebrity and other artist Bo Burnham. Wonderful, wonderful lad. I'm sure he's great. He's a little boring, but it's fine. We'll get to the not problematic people. We have Selena Gomez. Now, this blue line is very special because these indicate the 1989 girls. The 1989 girls are Taylor Swift's friend group in the 1989 era when she was peak New York City it girl with all of her friends. They were everything, and I tried so desperately to be in that friend group, and they just didn't want me. I'm not sure why. But she is attending and will be a bridesmaid, so we've heard, with her husband, Benny Blanco. No one cares about him. Next, Jack Antonoff, producer, longtime collaborator, and very close friend of Taylor Swift. He is a lot messier than I realized, because as I was making this, he is married to Margaret Qualley, who is beautiful, was in The Substance, wonderful actress. She was also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was great. They collaborate frequently with Lorde. 1989 opener, I believe that I saw her in Kansas City for the 1989 tour, but Jack Antonoff was engaged to Lena Dunham and broke it off. I don't know why, I couldn't tell you why, but she is a very close friend of Taylor Swift and will be at the wedding. So that is going to be a hot mess. And if you'll notice, Lena Dunham is connected to my other web of Dakota Johnson and Sophie Turner, both two close friends of Taylor. Now we'll start with Sophie because she's easy. She was married to Joe Jonas, who is the ex-boyfriend of Taylor Swift. I wrote that he's dumb. He fumbled Sophie Turner and Taylor Swift. That is very important to note. He is not going, but he's just an idiot. And we had to make their connection. It was very crucial. Sophie Turner is currently dating Chris Martin of Coldplay. And Chris Martin was engaged to Dakota Johnson, and role model, AKA Tucker Pillsbury, who is also known as Chuck Timely now, and who will be releasing an album on August 7th called Chuck Timely and the Hourglass, plug for my king. And he is best friends with Jake Shane. He has nothing to do with this, but he's the number one Swiftie ever, and I just needed it to be noted that he is now two people away from the Taylor Swift wedding, which is incredible. Role model is currently in a movie directed by Lena Dunham, so he is connected to the Jack Antonoff web, which is just bananas. Some people who weren't invited. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, which is just bananas to me, because Taylor Swift is the godmother to their children. To their children, not invited to the wedding, has songs named after their kids, and they're not invited to the wedding, which is just bananas. And then also Miles Teller and his wife, who were friends, and Miles Teller was featured in the I Bet You Think About Me music video, also not invited, which is just crazy. You know, you think they'd be inviting more married people, but I guess not. Back to the 1989 friend group. We have Gigi Hadid, confirmed bridesmaid and best friend of the 1989 friend group. Wonderful lady. Dating, currently, Bradley Cooper. I don't know anything about him. I get him and Brad Pitt confused a lot. But what I do know is that Bradley Cooper dated Suki Waterhouse. Beautiful, wonderful artist who is now married and has a child. That's the baby. That goes with my index over here. Robert Pattinson, who is Batman, who worked with Zoe Kravitz, who is a friend with Taylor Swift since 2020 when they were in London together for quarantine, who is dating Harry Edward Styles. Now, I don't know if anyone saw my shirt earlier. They dated, and it was very important to me. He will not be there because he is busy on his tour that I did buy tickets for and I will be going to. But he will not be in attendance. But this is very wild to me, and I think wild to many people. But in this corner, we have our little pink girls. Who are the perfect girls? Sabrina Carpenter and Abigail Anderson. Abigail Anderson is redheaded Abigail from Fearless. She's mentioned many times, very important to Taylor Swift lore. She, I think, will be the maid of honor because she is a longtime childhood best friend of Taylor. And then Sabrina Carpenter, collaborator and friend, finally has no drama going into an event. And that is very, very exciting. I'm very proud of her. Big deal. Karlie Kloss. 1989 friend. Went to a lot of Knicks games, actually, with Taylor, sat courtside. It was beautiful. Estranged friend, but is invited to the wedding? I guess? I don't know, that one was shocking for a lot of people. But as you can see, we have Harry Styles connected through this dashed line of coworkers to Niall Horan, who brings me to my final connection of Hailee Steinfeld, the queen of Buffalo, our quarterback's wife, who was a 1989 friend and was in the Bad Blood music video featuring Kendrick Lamar. She was in it. My life was changed. I've been obsessed with her ever since. I get my OG ticket, nobody else. Who is connected to Josh Allen, who is the wife of and has a child with Josh Allen. Now, that's just proof that everything leads back to Buffalo when you really try hard enough and everything leads back to Josh Allen. But that is the entire wedding guest list that we have. Not sure how much of it is right. Don't come at me. Theories, we have potential dress designers. Vivienne Westwood, my mom thinks is gonna be the best bet. Ralph Lauren, because it's classic. She did, you know, they did Selena Gomez's dress. Oscar De La Renta has no creative director, but she's met with them and Givenchy. The venue could be Madison Square Garden, could be Rhode Island. We don't know. And I think she will be announcing the 13th album on her wedding day, because it's Taylor Swift, and of course she will. And then, you know, we have the question, will our king and queen, Josh and Haley, be invited or not? And that is my entire guest list explained. Do we have any questions?
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
We learned a lot.
Yeah. I tried to get through that as fast as I could.
I'm just sad that you don't know who Bradley Cooper is.
I know he's like, he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too, wasn't he? I just never saw it.
That's you're getting him confused with Brad Pitt again.
Dang it!
No, I...
Whatever.
So you keep seeing like glimpses of like... by the way, this chart is exactly why I eloped, okay? Because... I don't... This is like drama city. You keep seeing predictions for the guest list. I honestly don't think that she's going to get married at MSG. This is just, I'm always the conspiracy theorist. I'm just, it's too out there. It's just too, it seems so planted.
I think that she's already married. I think that I was discussing with my mom. I think they got married earlier in June, but you know.
Maybe they're just having a big party there.
Maybe, you know, and I wouldn't blame them. They have enough money to. If I could party for my wedding at Madison Square Garden, I absolutely would. There's no question.
I, you know, listen, I wish everybody happiness, but please, sports publications, can you post about the game before you post about certain celebrity reactions? That's right. Just my request. So thank you so much. I think I'm a fan of the intern cam segment, so I think we need to bring that back, Charles. And coming up, we are going to take the dive into everything happening this summer. And you know what? Phoebe Bridgers actually plays into this in the recession indicators.
Yes,
so that's next on Group Chat.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is public media. Visit btpm.org.
Welcome back to the chat. I'm Bentley. We're Donnie Kutzbach, co-host today, filling in for Naila. And my mind is still blown over that Taylor Swift chart.
There was so much information there that I'm still kind of reeling. And opinions. She had some opinions on a lot of things and a lot of people.
We were wondering about the Haim sisters, how they fit.
And Lana Del Rey.
And Lana Del Rey, because the Haim sisters were with Taylor at the game. Are they bridesmaids? Anyway, that's for another look, because we could be here for another full hour just on certain brackets of that chart. So I am really excited. We have two new guests to join the chat. Jennifer Brazil, owner and founder of Borderland Festival. Amazing lineup this year. We'll talk more about that. And also Suma DeMeo, who is a thrift influencer and style educator. So she's going to talk to us about all that today. So this kind of came out of this topic came out of a discussion, a meeting, and our executive producer, Pat Kelly, was joking around about frozen yogurt lines being a recession indicator. Mm-hmm. But they're like, if you look on Reddit, a lot of the things that have been recession indicators in the past are happening now, like Phoebe Bridgers tour, because they say like people go back to her music when there's a recession, and then the long frozen yogurt lines in New York. I don't know, you know, this is a little bit of forecasting, but you know, in your world, Jen, you have a lot of... I don't think people really realize everything that goes into planning a music festival. This has been your life on all different areas. You're already planning for next year. What are some of the things that you have to consider, or are there any roadblocks, any hurdles that you've had this year? Dive into your process a little bit.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
And I know Donnie could to speak to this as well, so feel free to chime in on the music side. But yeah, it's pretty insane. It's like building a music festival is like building a little city. So, yeah. You know, we have a little bit of infrastructure at the park where we do the event, but we basically have to build everything around it. So with that just comes, you know, you have to bring in the fencing, the porta potties, the security, the, you know, tents, like literally the staging. So, you know, because of that, you have a very large budget of expenses. So there's a lot of layers and layers and layers that go into building that. And then doesn't even include the talent side of it, where you have to book all the bands, which is like for us, and Donnie will agree, like it's the bulk of the expense. The bands are the most expensive part of the event.
For good reason.
Yeah, they draw the ticket, you know, and the more money that you spend on a band, the theory is the more tickets they'll sell for you. So the more that you grow as an event, like how we have grown every year, we've had to continuously spend a little bit more money on the artists to sell them, to sell more tickets. So yeah, it's a whole little circle of economy of,
Yeah, because that's reflected, obviously, like you said, everything from like building materials and staging equipment. Yeah. But that's also reflected in the artist costs, right? Are their costs going up because of the things that they now have to?
For sure. I mean, we see it all the time that it's, you know, as diesel fuel is more expensive, everyone is traveling around in buses and they're hauling all their gear on trucks. So that's more expensive. When you go grocery shopping, as we all know, you know, and we're spending thousands of dollars on catering, that's going up incrementally even more too. You're paying your staff more in our business. And if you do things ethically, and I know Jen does too, it's like you have to pay your staff the proper living wage. So that goes up, and it's just all, everything gets more expensive.
Yeah. Year after year, especially like Donnie and I were talking earlier, coming out of COVID, things kind of skyrocketed in our industry price-wise. So everything has just gone up. And now, you know, with the state of the economy in our country right now, it's very expensive to do the events that we do.
Yeah. and you know, I feel like for what you guys, I mean, I can talk locally, for what you guys have had to go up against, I don't feel like the ticket prices have changed as much as you could have changed them, reflecting the expenses that you have to pay. So that is, you know, but I think people need to know that as consumers, that it's not just, a lot of times when ticket prices do go up, it's not because of necessarily somebody wanting to make more money. It's being able to pay to put these things on.
To Jen's point, people don't understand how complicated, the general consumer doesn't understand. So you and I were at, we were at Albright Knox the other day for the fundraiser with Devo, Rockin' at the Knox. And of course, beautiful day. We were on the radio talking about, it's perfect, what a wonderful day. Couldn't have imagined. And then Devo gets about 40 minutes into their set and there's lightning strikes within 7 miles. And we're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And so we had to cut it short. Devo still played close to a full set, like 3/4. There were still some people online complaining. And somebody made this quote, you'll appreciate this. How come, isn't there supposed to be somewhere set up to bring everybody inside?
You saw it, right?
It was the head explosion emoji when I saw that. I was like, do people realize that's impossible.
Where would you move that stage? And they actually moved the actual fans down into the garage. And they were, I mean, the band was trying to come back out.
They were trying.
There's lightning we saw it.
Yeah.
Even as people left, they were still going to go on stage. Even if there's 100 people left after the long wait, but it finally hit a certain threshold where it's just like, we have to call this.
It's safety.
Yeah, it's safety.
Yeah. I saw that. I went online the next day to read the comments because I just do that.
You can't help to read the comments.
I can't help it. And my team is like, don't read the comments about your own event. Uh-huh. You know.
Yeah.
But I saw that comment and I was like, because I was standing next to Artie, Donnie's partner, and he's like, oh, I got to go backstage. Lightning's coming. And I'm like, no.
I know.
My heart just sunk for everybody because you know when that comes in.
Because
a lot of people also don't know that when lightning hits at a show, you have to wait no matter what. If the lightning comes and goes really fast, you have to wait at least 30 minutes to let them back on stage. So then I automatically knew, well, we've got a half hour wait. And then if another thing strikes in 10 minutes, you have another half hour
wait. It
starts
it over. Yeah,
yeah. So I just, yeah.
I know.
People don't know.
No.
Turnstile last year, that happened at the Outer Harbor with us. And it was that. And a lot of people left. And then the band went back on stage.
Yeah.
And everyone was so mad. Like, how dare they go back on stage? Like, you just had to wait. But, you know, I get it.
Yeah. Well, I and that's why I like to clarify a lot of these things, too. I mean, even with the Tyler Childers concert that got canceled the other night at Darien that was sold out, it's like, he's having a baby.
Right.
And people were like, well, but I paid for a sitter. And I'm like, he took it for as long as he could. He's like, he's canceling two shows and he's having a baby, you know. Jen, you know, the other thing about your festival that I love is the other elements that you bring in with vendors and everything. And I know you're very environmentally friendly. And Suma, you know, there's so many in what you do as far as thrifting and style educating. There's an environmental element, but also a cost saving element. Yes, so can you kind of explain how you got into the influencer end and thrifting and what drew you to that?
Yeah, the influencer word is a bit triggering for me.
Me too. Okay, good. Because all right, we're going to stop using that word. All right.
Yeah, it's a bit triggering because I feel like everyone, it's just oversaturated.
Yeah.
But it's all started off with my mother. My mother is very stylish. She's always been. And as I got a little bit older to keep up with the styles and being able to find my own style, I kind of went to the thrift store aspect of things because I was able to afford more younger, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just kind of blossomed into this, I cannot pay full price for anything. Like I just, it, to me, it's unreasonable and it's saving so much more from being disposed. If I buy something in a thrift store versus buying it in a big box store, I'm saving that item from being trashed, or we don't even know what happens sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I am now, where I love telling people, like, this is all thrifted versus saying, like, oh, I got this at whatever store or this store. Now it's like, oh, you can find on-trend items too, because I just did, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like festival fashion is that.
Yes.
It's piecing together your own look. And not just getting like a cookie cutter look.
As we were walking in here, I was saying like we need to collaborate on some like a little segment for Borderland because we try to be really sustainable and we love to upcycle products and like what she does and it is all everybody plans out their festival outfit.
They do. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And with so much being donated and all that Y2K trends coming back, you don't need to go buy that. That's made out of plastic where you can find that item in a thrift store like Goodwill for so much cheaper.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you have to be dedicated to, I think it's, you definitely have to have patience to go through things. Yes. So it does help to have somebody showing you or even that second person that's selling the, I guess, would you call them curators? Like somebody from
resellers,
like somebody from like, okay, so like Roaring Spring Home for Home Goods or Second Chic or October House Vintage or some of those stores. Yeah. They're actually going through all of this stuff. And then curating things.
Yeah, and stores like Roaring Spring, October House, they all, I would consider them curators.
Yeah.
Because they're not just taking everything. They're finding a piece, and it's a special piece that they're bringing into their store. Mm-hmm. So they're curating those items, which is really important, too, because you want to give people that vision. And I think that's what I strive to do is for someone to look at me and say, oh, I could find that also in a thrift store. Like, that's my goal.
And, it, you know, it's, I remember Jen, so last year for the festival, I had a wedding, and I was so bummed, but I went to as much of the festival as I could. But I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't have anything to wear to this wedding. And there was a great vintage, like, secondhand shop that was set up, and I bought, like, three outfits for the weekend.
Yeah.
And, but it was also, like, it was cool stuff that you just can't find in like cookie cutter shops, you know, especially with the vintage clothing. Like it's one of a kind stuff.
Yeah. And you know, what gets me all the time too, is that when people are shopping in these big box stores, you're buying this item that they're telling you is cool. You know, but when you're going into a curated shop or a secondhand shop or even a Goodwill thrift store, you're finding those items that are cool. You know, you're seeing something and saying, wow, I can make this work versus people telling you what to buy.
Yeah.
Creating your own style.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your own identity.
Your personal style is what it is. And if you can figure that out, I think a lot of people sometimes just don't have they lack the courage, or you know, they just don't think they have it, the ability to do it. And they do.
Yeah.
You just have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, and I've been thrifting since the 1990s, and I'm bad about getting rid of stuff, so I have bins and bins. My next project is going to be opening some kind of a vintage store at some point.
Will you let me know? Because
I have to get rid of stuff. Yeah. That's mainly why.
You want to rummage through it first.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Me too. Call me too. I want to rummage through it first.
Remember who gets first pick.
I know. Y'all are in the circle to get the first crack at it.
I mean, even the jersey today, I'm like, you always.
Dead stock. It had the tag on it, and this is from the 90s, and I finally took the tag off. I'm like, I gotta start wearing this.
Yeah. I love it.
It's rad.
So I think, you know, obviously there's the recession indicators, and you know, you mentioned the 2000s, there was like the Reddit playlists all going around and Substacks on this, but I do also think it's just a cool thing. It's a fashionable thing. So it doesn't mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot of elements to it. And I think people being more environmentally savvy, too.
I think that's the biggest thing, too, is that we generate so much waste on a daily basis. And we have so much already that exists on the planet for when it comes to fashion. It's like, let's reuse it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think there's just so much that already exists. And I think more people need to, like, kind of open their eyes towards that to say, like, okay, let me try this route versus going to buy that item. And when I say plastic, a lot of the clothes that are made now is polyester, and that's just plastic.
Right.
So
microplastics.
Microplastics.
In everything, it's like sheets. Everything. And you have to watch. You have to watch out for it. But, and you know, even talking about the environmental angle, but that can also be cost saving, as we've been discussing. I know, you know, Jen, one of the things. There's a lot of little things at the festival that are both. So, like, the fact that you can get a refillable cup, like a metal cup for beer. And, you know, how many plastic cups are you saving?
Well, we have our stats online. You can look it up.
That's right. It is on the website. It's borderlandfestival.com, right?
Borderlandfestival.com. Yeah. But, yeah, no, we like, thank you for noticing that, because we have, since day one when we started, before it had, you know, I spent a big chunk of my time out in the West Coast, and out there it was like really sustainable and forward thinking for a long time before it kind of hit here in the Western New York region. So when we first started Borderland 8 years ago, people hadn't really gotten used to here to having a free water station where you can go in and refill your own cup. So you don't have to buy water all weekend. Or, you know, we do the stainless steel cup, where if you buy our commemorative cup, you get a dollar off your beer all weekend. You can also use it to fill your water. So we really tried to integrate. Like, first my team was like, you're taking revenue, you know?
Yeah.
You're crushing our revenue. And I was like, this is the right thing to do. We have to do this.
You're not a corporate company.
Yeah, so. We're independent, but also it's like, this is the right thing to do for our planet. And as a festival promoter, and I know Donnie thinks this way too, it's like, you bring these people together. You're bringing thousands of people together. You have some responsibility to do things the right way, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you for noticing that we do that.
I there's just a lot of little things. And, you know, obviously you've seen artists starting to do these things, like, you know, Coldplay, as, you know, Nina was talking about Chris Martin. I was hoping she wasn't going to put down Chris Martin, but, you know, they've had stats every year on tours on how much they've saved environmentally, you know, and...
Yeah.
And that does reflect in cost. So, like, you giving an incentive for people to use the reusable cups, and they get a dollar off their beer. A dollar off your beer adds up in a day, especially all day at a festival.
It does,
and the water, too, being able to refill. So, and then that makes it able for us to get artists like Jack White and Alabama Shakes and that whole lineup. Are you guys seeing anything that you feel like the market is responding to to recession in entertainment world? Because I don't know, people also will, I feel like, spend money on entertainment regardless sometimes if they really want to see something.
I think people want to spend more on experiences.
Yes.
So yeah. A festival is an experience. They're going to invest that money in that experience now, which I see a lot of happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which involves a lot of things.
The thing I'm seeing, I've been noticing a lot, and I think industry-wide, and your families and the business too, there's less people drinking now.
Yeah.
Younger people are not drinking.
Younger people are not.
You know, there's other philosophies out there. There's other people are switching to cannabis more, and it's more readily available. So there's definitely a shift going on with that too. So that's another thing. And like Jen was saying, that's a big part of the revenue too, is selling beer.
Yeah.
Selling alcohol, and when that shifts, you have to sort of think, okay, you have to sort of move with it or figure out other things to, you know, that are going to make your event profitable.
It was interesting because the New York Times did an article we've referred to a couple times where saying that Gen Z isn't drinking as much in volume. They're going out, but they're not drinking the volume that maybe the older millennials did.
The Gen X's and millennials.
Yeah, and the shots.
We were dancing on tables.
But also the tab situation, closing, not keeping tabs open.
Yeah.
So paying for a drink, closing tab. The next street. Closing their tab.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, so I don't know how bartenders feel about that and like busy clubs or anything. So, you're seeing these things change. And we're going to get more into the hospitality end of that coming up when Chef Manny of Mira Restaurant is going to join the chat. And before we go, Suma, how do we keep track of you, because I need fashion ideas and festival ideas for this summer. So how do we find you?
Well, first we'll exchange numbers. Don't worry. you too. Yeah. Gotcha. But you can find me on Instagram. I'm at the Fam Junkie. I have a link there that connects you to email because I do offer personal styling also.
Yes, please.
So if anyone's looking to just kind of go out and thrift and have that experience in the thrift store, because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
I definitely can offer that service. So
okay, great.
You're hired.
Fab Junkie. Okay. Awesome. And Jen, do you mind sticking around for the next part of the chat too? Okay. All right, that's coming up next on Group Chat.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on BTPM NPR, enjoying world-class performances on BTPM Classical, discovering new local artists on BTPM The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on BTPM PBS, public media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to the chat. I'm Bentley, Donnie Kutzbach, who is always a staple on Group Chat, but is my co-host today because Nayla is about ready to have that baby. So,
so
probably
close.
In the next week. So close. But I know she's watching from home. So hi, Nayla. And Donnie, co-owner of Town Ballroom Funtime Presents and a bunch of other things, Outer Harbor Live Concert Series. Jen Brazil has stayed in the chat. She is the owner and founder of Borderland Music Festival. And we've added to the chat Chef Manny Ocasio, who is the owner of Mira in Buffalo and also a chef as well. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we've been talking some recession indicators and pop culture and entertainment. And I know before the break, we were talking about habits in drinking with the next generation. And I'm sure you deal with that in the restaurant business. I have been to Mira. It's amazing. The food is so good. And I love to have another business on Elmwood that's, you know, flourishing and it's hard to get reservations at. So now that you're here, can I?
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
We're in.
Daddy's like, can I get that?
Always like week one at a new restaurant, I got to get to Mira. And it is hard to get in.
Yeah.
My daughter and her boyfriend have been there already like four times. I'm like, shit. And she sends me these photos, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
amazing!
That's awesome.
Or pop in for brunch. The first time I was there for brunch, so it was like a pop in kind of situation, and that worked out. But all of these things we've been talking about is, you know, habit changing. And obviously we talk about the fun stuff, you know, the frozen yogurt lines and the Phoebe Bridgers tour as like Reddit recession indicators. In the restaurant business and being a private local restaurant owner, how are you dealing with some of the things, especially with food costs? And
yeah, I think, you know, it's always been super tight in restaurants, and, you know, you have to like really be thoughtful, and, you know, waste is really not an option. And I think with rising food costs and labor costs and just across the board costs,
yeah.
You know, you really just have to be really diligent and smart and, you know, just not letting things go to waste. And really, that's the biggest thing always in restaurants. But yeah. Again, like things just continue to rise in price. And, you know, a big thing for us is like we have a certain standard and like quality that we want to serve to our guests. And, you know, we're a new restaurant and, you know, the pressure is always on to like really, really like, you know, meet people's expectations and exceed them. And, you know, that's our passion and that's what we want to do. And ingredients are expensive and the things that we like to work with are super expensive. Yeah. And, you know, we also want to support like our, you know, local farmers and like so we don't mind paying the premium, but it's really just like, how do we make it work and how do we make it sustainable so that, you know, we've been open for 9 months and we want to be open for, you know, 9 years, 10 years, you know, 20 years, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it's really a sustainability thing. And it's just, I think for myself, like I think about when I go out to eat or if any sort of products I consume, now it's like you're paying a premium for everything. Mm-hmm. So it has to be worth it. And so every day, like when we're at work and we're with the team, it's like we think about like, how do we make it worth it for our guests? Like how, you know, anyone who's coming into the restaurant, we try and make things affordable. Value is something that's always been important to me as a chef. You know, coming up in fine dining restaurants, value is something that's sort of like hard to always understand in a restaurant because there's so many moving parts. But when you get to like, you know, when you're in my position and you see all of the different parts and all of the different aspects, I never want to rip people off. I want there to be that value. I want to like leave feeling like we provided value.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. And again, like using the products that we use and not skimping and like having people in the restaurant and pay them a, you know, a fair wage and have them be happy. It's all a part of like this huge puzzle.
Yeah.
And obviously with rising costs, it's like another layer. But it's just, I think it's just thoughtfulness and really, really doing the extra things to make it work.
It's interesting you said that even, you know, we've been talking about labor and experience, and I do find it's a fine dining experience, but everybody is so friendly.
Yeah.
And if you think about that, fair wage plays into that, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the same thing at your festival, John, it's just a good vibe. So I guess, you know, happy workers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel it's like, you know, who's going to be mad about like having happy employees that are like getting paid a fair wage? I came up in the restaurant industry when that was not the case whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it's really, you saw like a huge shift post COVID. And at that point, you know, I didn't own a restaurant, you know, I was just working in restaurants. So for me, it was like awesome. Like my wife and I, she's a pastry chef. I was a chef at the time. And we're like, this is awesome that like we are starting to get paid like what we think we deserve.
Yeah,
so like, you know, I think that aspect of it is great. It's just something for everyone to understand that's obviously doesn't see the full spectrum.
Yeah, people don't know the budget.
Yeah, lines. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like the labor end of things, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like you couldn't have said it better about how I feel it's very equivalent. How I feel about how we run our festival. It's like, it's a little bit higher end. Like we spend more money to deliver a good experience, which you hope in return, you hope you're investing in the future of your brand and that people see that and get that and feel that in the vibe and want to keep coming back and they want to buy your merch and they want to, you know, be a part of what you're creating. So I completely agree with what you're saying about spending a little bit more on everything to be better quality and hoping the fans and the customers receive that the right way.
It's definitely a long game
approach
too. And I, you know, even with people's time, as people are, you know, working more and juggling family, and you know, you're also competing for people's time to be able to go out to dinner or be able to go to a festival. So you want it to be a good experience so that they want it. That's the place they want to go back. Manny, you talked about lowering food waste. Like, what are some of the examples of that? And I mean, there are probably things people can do at home too, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely things that people can do at home. And like, you know, even myself personally, I think about just like grocery shopping for my house. Like, you know, it's super easy to like not be thoughtful about things, and you buy something and it goes to waste and you throw it away. You don't even think about it again. And again, like in a restaurant, when there's like the margins are so tight, it's really just like how we order and how we plan our menus to make sure that like everything that comes into the restaurant gets served to a guest and it's nothing's getting thrown away. And obviously we have like family meal and like we eat with the staff and stuff, and like any sort of like loose ends there would get used for that stuff. But again, it's really just like a lot of like planning and like any business, you know?
Yeah.
And, but it's really, cause people ask me this all the time, like, how are you responding to rising costs? And it really has just, after like putting a lot of thought into it, it's just foresight and planning and
mindfulness.
Yeah. Mindfulness.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do right now. Cause it's like, everything is so ever changing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to really think about like food costs in a restaurant. Like, things change bi-weekly, bi-monthly. So you can really just deal with it what's in front of you, you know?
Yeah. And that, does that also play into, you know, when you have a menu, having, I noticed like there's a variety of choices. So if you want to stay on one end of your budget, you know,
it's
different.
Yeah. There's definitely always been like in restaurants, I think like different ways of like managing just like costs and like products and what, you know, things that are super popular and some things that are not really popular and like staples that are going to make you tons of money and then things you're going to lose on. And like, I think all of those things have just gotten a lot less predictable. I think that's another thing about like the time we live in, is just like less predictable. It kind of keeps you on your toes with things, but again, we strive to like serve a premium experience. And so we just really don't skimp. And again, like working with like a lot of local purveyors, it's something that like we're proud of, and like we want them to also do really well. So
what are some examples of products that you would get locally? I mean, you don't have to necessarily name the vendors, but like, obviously food from farms and, you know, but in both of your worlds, like, how do you keep things local?
We for us, we use a lot of local vendors. We have a lot of local food vendors. We try, you know, obviously, like, as we've grown as an event, we've had to bring some people from outside the area to help us grow. But we try, and also, like, sometimes local food trucks can't accommodate 15,000 people a day, you know, you have to balance it out a little bit, but we try to have as many local vendors as we can on the food side of things. And in turn, we really are mindful of who we partner with. Like, we were talking about our mutual friend, Dopus Doe, and we know that, they're local. And
I was booking his band.
That's such a great story.
Just trying to invest back in your people, you know, keep every, like, there's that thing, like, raise all the ships, or, everyone rises together, so.
Yeah, for sure, like, you know, we've built these relationships over years with a lot of local farms. There's, like, too many to list them all, but I think about a couple, like, Root Down Farm is one that's, like, in North Buffalo, Clarence area, and then another one, Herba Verde, which we get a lot of, like, meat from. You know, again, these are places that, like, it's more expensive than if you get them from some big, you know, shipper or supplier. But we don't want to use that stuff. We want to, you know, we want to make sure that we're supporting like these local farms and that they're doing well, because, you know, we just love their stuff, and so do the people that come into the restaurant.
Yeah. You can definitely taste the difference.
And patrons need to realize, too, when they go in and they get that special, they're getting something. My favorite thing, and it's disappointing sometimes when you see something that's special and like, oh, that's gone.
Yeah.
But that's we all know that's a great sign. Yes. Because that means that you had enough of it until you didn't, and you didn't. And you got rid of it, and everything is always fresh.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the important thing to remember.
Yeah, definitely.
So I always appreciated, Donnie, that you would send, you always knew the places to send people because they don't know when they come. And like for you too, Jen, when they come into East Aurora, we were joking around about the green room situation earlier, but you've had artists actually comment on the experience of actually experiencing the area when they're at your festival.
Yeah, we had some cool stuff happen recently too. Like last year, like the Teske brothers, like they ended up going shopping in town in East Aurora during the day, and went into a little boutique store, and then later that night ended up at that person's wedding. So like,
we catered that wedding.
No way! Yes, oh my god, that's amazing.
West New York is too small,
and that was like an unbelievable moment.
Yeah, super awesome. Cool. Yeah. I didn't know this was happening because I'm in the middle of my show, and I hear about it later that these guys went from their set to surprise the bride and groom at the wedding that you catered.
Yes.
And they showed up
Buffalo,
and then they partied.
Yeah, that is about as buffalo of a moment.
Yeah, because I think I saw their post or something the next day, and I was like, "Wait, they went to that?
They were just had a play? Yeah, they were at the show. Yeah, so it's pretty cool, especially like you're saying, it's such a small community. We all know each other. We're all pretty much one degree from each other here. It's like watching, supporting everybody how we can is pretty cool.
Fans want to go, they want to support an artist however they can. So buying the merch does that.
Yeah.
In lieu of, you know, you can't always, not everyone's buying a, you know, a record or a CD anymore.
Yeah.
So doing that is important. And it's also, you know, it's like flying the flag. Like, yeah, I was there. It's like, you know, high school the next day, everyone would be wearing the t-shirt of the concert the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that was
it's like,
the best.
It's still, and it's still a thing. And I think definitely it's not just Gen Zs and millennials and boomers, that this generation, Gen Z is doing it still too.
Yeah. Well, there is, I think it's going to be a great summer. I think we've just maybe just getting smarter and smarter every time. We're not going to let anybody bring us down.
No.
High five. We got each other. This group's got each other. So, so make sure, you support. I know it's really easy to say support local or support environmental, but these are the ways that you can do it, and also you know, cut your own costs too. So this is a continuing conversation I believe we need to have. We're definitely going to have a fashion episode, Charles, right around back to school time when we come back from the break. So we're going to keep having Chef Manny on so he can get us reservations.
Oh, we need to. And I have to ask, because it's the first question I always ask a chef and owner operator on your menu right now. What is the one thing? What is the first thing you would order?
That's tough.
That's like picking your favorite child.
Putting you on the spot here.
My wife, who's a partner pastry chef, she all the desserts that she makes, I think she makes the best dessert. So I think if you skip dessert at Mira, you're missing out.
Yep.
Yeah, you messed it up.
Yeah.
I heard something about some sort of strawberry donut that.
Yes, the strawberry donut.
Is that available this weekend?
Yes, they will be.
Just asking for those. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Jen Brazil, Chef Manny, Suma DeMeo, who is hanging out in the green room now. She's going to get all of our numbers, too. And Danny Kutzbach for standing in for Naila. And, of course, Charles, how do we wrap this up?
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Also, Bentley, Nina said no one is safe on her chart.
Listen, we might be bringing that back next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.